Do you wish you had a consistent stream of leads coming into your business without spending money on paid ads? That's exactly what I'm going to be chatting about in this episode of Architecture Business Club, the weekly podcast for solo and small firm architecture practice owners just like you who want to build a profitable, future-proof architecture business that fits around their life. I'm the host, John Clayton, and if you want a business in architecture that gives you more freedom, flexibility and fulfillment, then go to architecturebusinessclub.com/blueprint and download the Architecture Business Blueprint. It's the step-by-step formula to freedom for architects, architectural technologists and architectural designers, and it's absolutely free as a gift from me. Now let's discuss lead generation. Hey everybody, welcome to the show today. I've got something to talk about today, which I hope is going to be really helpful for everybody. We're going to be talking about lead generation. So how we can generate new leads for our business. So I wanted to kind of get back to basics to begin with and talk about what is a lead. So a lead is essentially, it's a person who has expressed an interest in the product or service that you sell. So in essence, they are a potential customer. And lead generation, that is the process of identifying and cultivating those potential customers or your prospects that might be interested in buying your products and services that you sell. So why is it so important? Well, lead generation is really important because if you aren't able to generate a consistent stream of leads each month, your business is going to go through cycles of feast and famine. So that's either not having enough clients or just having too much work to handle at a given point. And both of these things, they can play havoc with your cash flow, your time management, and ultimately make it really difficult to grow your business. So what common myths are there about lead generation? There are quite a few. I'm just going to summarize some of the main points that I feel are the main myths around lead generation. Firstly, that you don't need to do any lead generation if you already have clients. And that if you have a website and perhaps appear in a few business directories online like Google Maps, Yell.com, etc., that the leads will just keep coming in automatically over time. And that posting your work on social media counts as lead generation. There are different types of leads, and I think this is an important distinction to make, particularly between inbound and outbound leads and what the differences are. So what is an inbound lead? An inbound lead are the ones that come to you first. So these are the ones that just seem to trickle in naturally. They might have discovered you via a Google search and maybe stumbled across your Google business listing, or maybe they've been looking online for a local architect or practice and they've stumbled across your website, or maybe randomly found a social media post that you put out there. There may be a referral from a friend or a past client. These are the leads that most businesses rely on, as your approach to them is passive. Basically, you're just sitting back and relaxing, getting along with your other things that you're working on and waiting for them to contact you. So you're waiting for the phone to ring. You're just waiting for the email inquiry or somebody to fill in your website contact form. So this is the approach that many practices take, especially sole practitioners and micro-sized practices that may not need to have many clients to stay in business. Or perhaps those practices who are situated in a location where the demand for architectural services or for their particular area of expertise outstrips the local supply. So that could be perhaps if they had a very specific niche, something quite unusual in architecture that they did that the perhaps aren't many other businesses locally that do it. The thing with inbound leads is you've got no control over the volume and consistency of inbound leads. So problems can occur when inbound leads naturally slow down, perhaps due to a change in the wider economy, increasing prices, or perhaps new competitors in your area or your chosen niche. Or problems can occur if you're wanting to grow your practice and you find yourself in a position where you need to bring in a higher number of leads every month than before than what naturally filtered in previously. So what is an outbound lead? So an outbound lead is a sales lead that you contact first. So this could be for a variety of ways. It could be depending on the types of client you work with. It could be cold calling, direct mail, advertising. It could be through an event, email campaign, content marketing, or even a social media campaign or reaching out to them through social media. This is something that you can actively do anytime. You have more control in generating outbound leads than inbound. And this is really what lead generation is all about and perhaps the main thing that I want to talk about today. So what are the first steps in generating outbound leads? There are many different ways to generate outbound leads and to nurture them. But before you rush off to put up that big advertising billboard or spend hundreds of pounds or dollars on Facebook ads, the first thing you need is a strategy. Firstly, I would consider your business strategy first before you think about any lead generation strategy. Have a think about what those income goals are and what services that you plan to be selling over the coming months. How many packages do you need to sell? How many new clients do you need? Once you're clear on that, you can then think about the best approach to generate leads based on your business strategy for the coming months. There are three types of leads that you're really going to need, depending on how far along they are in their journey with you. And these are cold, warm, and hot leads. I'm going to use an analogy here. I'm a big music fan. So let's just imagine you're in a rock band and you're going on your next tour and you want to sell out every venue. Your cold leads don't yet know about you. They've never heard of your band or they've never heard any of your music. So to help them discover you, you may need to create content online like social media posts, maybe write some blog articles or share your music on Spotify or Apple for them to find. Your warm leads are already connected to you some way. They are a little bit more familiar with what you do. They may have listened to a few of your songs already. Maybe they follow you on Instagram or have signed up to your weekly email and newsletter to hear about your latest album or your tour. And your hot leads are your big fans. They are typically your past customers. So they've bought your albums, they've paid to see you in concert before, maybe they've even bought the t-shirt. They are the people that are most likely to buy a ticket for your upcoming tour. So if you need new customers fast, these are usually the best people to focus on. So your hot leads are the most likely to buy soon. Your cold leads are the least likely. So you're going to need to nurture them for longer to get a sale from someone that's a cold lead. So let's talk a little bit about some of the common mistakes. Well, one of them is focusing too much of your time, money, and resources on marketing activities that are best suited to cold leads. So remember, those are the ones that need the most nurturing. They're the least likely to buy anytime soon. They're going to take the longest time to convert into a paying customer. And the sorts of activities that you might be doing for those leads are things like posting to social media, writing a blog, writing case studies, adding glossy photos of finished renovations and buildings to your portfolio, or maybe running paid ads. Often we focus on these things as they can feel more comfortable to do, and you can still feel like you've accomplished something if you do them. I mean, it's almost a form of procrastination. And feeling like you're doing something that is contributing towards generating leads and getting sales that doesn't feel anywhere near as uncomfortable as reaching out to somebody personally or getting on the phone with them and having a conversation. Another mistake is just not scheduling time for lead generation. I'm a big believer that if things aren't scheduled, that they don't get done. So if you want to generate leads for your business, you're going to have to schedule some time to do it and try and make it a regular habit. So try and set aside some time each week to generate and nurture leads. And depending on the position you're at and how many leads you need to generate, that's going to have a bearing on how much time you need to set aside. Another mistake is being just reactive rather than proactive. you tend to be reactive to inbound leads. You sit around and wait for them to come in, and then as and when the lead comes in, you react to it. You try to get them to make the next step, whether that's booking a sales call or you start the conversation with them. But if you want to generate outbound leads and you're looking for more consistency with lead generation, you really need to be more proactive than reactive. You've got to do the work to attract, connect, nurture, and convert those leads and prospects from being just a prospect to being a customer. Another common mistake is just failing to spot the signals of a potential lead. So there might be people out there that you are connected to in some way that, or in your audience or your social media following, that are raising their hand, maybe giving off some kind of signal. You've got to learn to be able to spot those. There are different signals that people can give to indicate a possible interest in working with you, or at least somebody like you that may have recently followed you on social media, or maybe they've even followed one of your competitors. That's another indication that they might be looking for somebody like you. They might have liked, shared, or commented on one of your social media posts or accepted a connection request with you. Maybe they've opened an email newsletter and clicked one of the links if you have an email list that you've been emailing regularly. Or maybe they've been on your website and downloaded your client brochure or price guide. Maybe they've entered a survey, a poll, or a recent competition that you've run. Or maybe they've just asked a question in a group about extending, renovating, or working with an architect. All of these things are little signals, triggers, or what's sometimes called hand raisers that signal to you that this person may at some point in the not too distant future be interested in working with you. Remember, don't forget to download the Architecture Business Blueprint, the step-by-step formula to freedom for architects, architectural technologists, and architectural designers. You can grab the blueprint without any charge at architecturebusinessclub.com/blueprint. And if you're enjoying this episode, then please leave a 5-star review or rating wherever you listen to podcasts. Now back to the show. Another common mistake is just not following up with people or having a method to track the leads. One of the things that you might have heard people talk about is having a CRM system. So this is CRM stands for, I think it's like customer relationship management or client relationship management system. And really what this is, it's just having a method or system to be able to track those leads and to make sure that you don't forget to follow up with them. And this can be something really simple. There are a number of software packages that you can subscribe to that are specific CRM systems or sales pipelines. You can pay anything from £10 to £20 a month, right through to hundreds of pounds a month for one of these systems. Or you can use something like a task management system. You might have heard of some of those like ClickUp, Asana, Trello, Notion. All of those are software systems that allow you to set up your own simple CRM using their platform as a method of doing that. And some of those do offer free plans that you can use. Or it can be as simple as a Google Sheet or an Excel spreadsheet. Doesn't have to be anything complicated. I think it's just a case of finding something that you can use that you're going to find easy to keep updated and that it aligns with your available budget. So if you don't have much money spare right now, then maybe something like a Google Sheet or just an Excel spreadsheet is the way to go. So just think about each step or stage that your lead needs to go through from when you first identify them as a lead right the way through to becoming a customer. List them out. Typically, it's like from left to right. So for example, on the left-hand side, it might be spotting the new lead. And then as you progress from left to right, it might be messaging them, getting a reply, having a conversation, qualifying them as a good fit, inviting them to a call, etc., all the way to them becoming a paying client or customer. And your aim is just to keep adding leads into your CRM system and moving those leads from the left-hand side of that table over to the right-hand side where they become customers. Simple, right? Why aren't we all doing this? So to move on now to just some examples, I'm just going to share just a couple of tactics, really. And all of these things, that we see people doing, from posting on social media to email campaigns to running events and competitions, they're all just tactics. The trick, I guess, is making sure that the tactics that you choose align with that business strategy that we talked about and those business goals. Because if you are nurturing an audience of subscribers on your email list for some training program that you're launching at the end of the year, or group program for home renovators to guide them through extending their home, the tactics that you'd use for that are going to be very different for somebody that is just wanting to fill their one-to-one slots for the next month. So you might have a gap on your calendar this month. You might need a new client, and you might have several days available to work on a design, to support somebody with a drawing package, or maybe even to do some subcontract work for another practice. That's going to be a very different strategy from the person that's launching the course or group program later in the year. So one example tactic to generate and nurture a cold lead, that might be something like, say, creating a long form piece of content. So this could be something like writing a blog article or case study that you can post on your website, or perhaps creating a video that addresses one of the main pain points that your service solves, or one of the desires, talks about the desires that your service helps fulfill. So an example might be something like 7 common myths about extending your home, or 10 things to consider before you decide to renovate, or X number of things to think about before you choose an architect, something along those lines. What you can then do is snip out segments from that blog or video or article, and use those, repurpose those to create a series of social media captions, graphics, reels that you can post over repeat over a given time period to help pique people's interest. You can then start engaging with the people that have liked, shared, or commented on those posts, and ultimately start conversations, nurture those relationships, and eventually get them on a call. An example tactic for a hot lead is typically either a current or previous customer of yours, or somebody who already knows, likes, and trusts you. This is typically in the cases where you need fast sales. These are the people that you should focus on. And for a hot lead, that you wouldn't normally expect to get results from the interactions you have with somebody after posting a blog or a social media post. For hot leads, you're typically going to do some high touch, proactive outreach. So these can be things like picking up the phone, could be calling past clients or people that you have in your existing network that potentially may need some extra help. That could even be a friendly competitor, past colleague that you used to work with, a practice that you used to work at. So maybe even your past employer, call them up. You can check in with them, have a catch up, have a coffee, whether that's in person or virtual coffee online, find out the things that they're working on and find out if they need any extra support or help with anything. You might be surprised. You might just be able to plug that gap on your calendar. This is something that I did a few years back. I had a lean period one winter. I looked at my calendar and thought, wow, I don't really have much work on the lead up to Christmas. And I thought, what is the fastest way that I can fill that gap? The fastest way was just being a little bit vocal about it and letting people know that I had this gap in my diary, and that I knew there was going to be other people out there, particularly other practices, that were busier than I was at that time. So I contacted them. I emailed a few practices that I had a working relationship with already. I spoke to some people that I've worked with in the past that had their own practice, and I just said, hey guys, as things happen, I've got a gap. I've got a gap this coming month that I want to fill. And before I reach out to anybody else, I just wanted to reach out to you and see if you needed any extra support. If you're busy, let's have a chat and see if there's any way that I can help you. If you have an email list, you can send out a short sales campaign over a series of days with a simple, time-sensitive offer. And if you do post to social media, you can make it more of a sales post. So rather than posting value-based content, so maybe previously if you've been sharing your blog that you've written, or maybe you have been sharing some graphics or images, photos of a completed project or something you're working on, make it more of a sales post. Be explicit about it. Tell everybody you have a gap in your calendar that you're looking to fill. And I would share any natural urgency that already exists. If you're a sole practitioner or if you're a micro-sized practice, there is natural urgency already because you've only got so many hours available to fill to serve your clients one-to-one. So already there is some natural urgency there. There's some scarcity. Mention that in the post or the emails or those conversations. Tell people that you only have X number of hours or days or slots free to fill. I think the main thing that I'd like you to take away from this is that conversations lead to conversions. So if you're looking to convert some of those leads into customers, that really that's the main thing, is that you need to look for those little triggers, those signals of intent to move people from just liking your social media post or clicking on a link in your email. You need to look to find ways to have conversations with those people, whether that is in person, over the phone, or to begin with, it might even just be in the comments of a social media post, or moving it from a comment in the social media post to your direct messages, and then moving them over to a conversation over the phone or Zoom or even in person. So I hope that's been helpful. There's absolutely no way that I could cover every single different tactic and strategy around lead generation in one short podcast episode, but hopefully that's given a helpful overview to a few of the things that you should consider and just one or two tactics that you can use to generate a few new leads for your practice. The topic of today's episode on lead generation was suggested by listeners Rachel Reed and Ash Wilson. So I just wanted to give them a shout out. If anybody else has got any other suggestions for topics for forthcoming episodes, then please get in touch and let me know. Next time, I'll be talking to Rhonda Jackson about getting paid on time and recovering debts. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Architecture Business Club. If you liked this episode, think other people might enjoy it, or just want to show your support for the show, then please leave a glowing 5-star review or rating wherever you listen to podcasts. It would mean so much to me and makes it easier for new listeners to discover the show. And if you haven't already done so, don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you never miss another episode. If you want to connect with me, you can do that on most social media platforms. Just search for @MrJohnClayton. The best place to connect with me online, though, is on LinkedIn. You can find a link to my profile in the show notes. Remember, running your architecture business doesn't have to be hard, and you don't need to do it alone. This is Architecture Business Club.